Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to our program, Clear for Takeoff, here at Holy Spirit Radio. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Our readings this weekend are for the 8th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we will be getting started just momentarily. Let's go through our checklist as we always do. Number one, do you have a heart for God? Check. Do you have quality time set aside this morning for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And once again, my friends, if you've answered yes to the four questions, then we are ready to engage in the Word of God. Our first reading this morning is from the book of Sirach, chapter 27, verses 4 through 7. And here it is. When a sieve is shaken, the husks appear. So do one's faults when one speaks. As the test of what the potter molds is in the furnace, so in tribulation is the test of the just. The fruit of a tree shows the care it has had. So too does one's speech disclose the bent of one's mind. Praise no one before he speaks, for it is then that people are tested. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Sirach this morning, my friends, the Lord is telling us that the speech that we present to other people is truly a testimony, and we will be judged by the speech that we give, the words we speak, the vocabulary we use, the phraseology, the terminology. It's all important. And the word goes on to say this: as the test of what the potter molds is in the furnace, so in tribulation is the test of the just. So for those of you out there, my friends, who are just, working for the Lord's causes, we will be tested. God doesn't want us to be hypocrites or liars or misrepresenting ourselves. This is important. And money, power, prestige, things that make us vulnerable, sometimes impact us to the point where we embellish, we misrepresent, and we are careful not to do that, my friends. We really have to take a look at that. But we will be tested, because once again, God wants us to be true to the faith and not misrepresent ourselves. The word goes on to say this: the fruit of the tree shows the care it has had. And we measure people by the fruit. In the word of God, in the book of Matthew, it talks about by their fruits you will know them. So too does one's speech disclose the bent of one's mind. So as we prepare to give lessons to other people, we have to be careful, once again, the words that we choose, because the tongue has a lot of power to it. In the Word of God, God refers to the power of the tongue. as very powerful, and that we have the ability to bless the Lord and God with that tongue or curse human beings who are made in the likeness of God. So we have to be very careful, because once we say anything, we will be judged by others, by Catholics, Christians, atheists, agnostics, Jewish, Buddhist, the Muslims. We will be judged, my friends. And people are asking the question, are they true to the faith that they are expressing? So we want to be careful. And we want to think about the fruit that we are bearing. By their fruits you will know them. A very great message from the Word of God. And again, the Word says this, praise no one before he speaks, for it is then that people are tested. So we will be tested at the dinner table. We will be tested at the pulpit. We will be tested in corporate America. We will be tested as politicians on the local, regional, and national levels, as the President of the United States, governors of the states, senators, and U.S. congressmen. People will be tested. And as they speak, we're looking to see if their words and actions are one and the same. Very important, my friends. We have an election year coming up, and it's important that we take a look at the actions of the people who are in office today, who may be running for election this year, and see if their words and actions are matching up, or are they hypocrites? Are they lying to the people? This is important, that we get good people in office who are aligned with the fundamentals of our faith and what is important to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and our Father in heaven. This is very important at a time in our nation when we have an anti-godly message coming through day in and day out from people in authoritative positions. We need to get started, my friends, right now, to measure people by their speech, looking at their actions, and seeing if they're true to what they say they are actually doing. And we will be tested, my friends, once again, as the potter molds in the furnace, so in tribulation is the test of the just. So be careful and make sure that you and I are coming up with the actions to support the great words that we speak. But we will be tested. Let's go to our second reading, my friends. Once again, from the words of St. Paul to the people of Corinth, the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 54 through 58. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, when this which is corruptible clothes itself with incorruptibility, and this which is mortal clothes itself with immortality, then the word that is written shall come about. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be firm, steadfast, always fully devoted to the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And from the mouth of St. Paul today, my friends, we hear a great message about people who pretend to be something they are not. People who are conning other people. People who want to be God. People who are prioritizing their lives based on money, power, prestige. Again, when this which is corruptible, when it's something bad, something to be condemned, clothes itself with incorruptibility, and this which is mortal, that's you and I, my friends, mortal, clothes itself with immortality, then the word of God that is written will come about. And we see that in our society, my friends, in many places. People who are mortal, pretending to be immortal. They want to be God. They want to have people submit to them, to be in control of them. They want to carry out their own agendas, ignoring the word of God, the things that are important to God. And we have great examples of that. People who are not even in prison. We're talking about people on the outside who are walking around in white-collar jobs, people in authoritative positions in churches, corporate America, in the political arena, in Washington, D.C., and in the state houses throughout the country. But people who are pretending to be others, they are corruptible and covering themselves up with incorruptibility. They're clean. They're unable to be blemished. But it's not true, my friends. It's a cover-up. Think about it objectively. What cover-ups have you been looking into that you have heard in the last year or two or three or four? What cover-ups, my friends, have you been privy to? We've seen, you know, first and foremost, we've seen priests themselves sometimes manipulate, take advantage of children. Something that's absolutely unacceptable, illegal, something that needs to be apologized for. Very, very important. And on the other hand, my friends, we've seen wonderful priests who are out there doing the work of the Lord, which is so important. And this is what the Word of God talks about from St. Paul today, which is key that we continue to do the work of the Lord. But there are people out there who would love to take us down by presenting themselves as someone other than who they really are. Let's take a look. Investment counselors working on commission sales, guiding and directing you to things other than what you really need to have. A great example of that is a true story based on a movie called The Wolf of Wall Street, and with Leonardo DiCaprio. Great movie highlighting gentleman up in Long Island, New York, who was really, you know, out there for money, power, and prestige, and carried many people with him, taking advantage financially of those investments that people really made wholeheartedly to take care of their families' futures. Commission sales, you know, in car sales sometimes, and real estate sales, people don't have your best interest at heart. It's important that we once again identify the corruptible or the corruption within some of these industries, which is so evident, you know, when we see it or read it in the news or see it on television in a documentary. It's unbelievable some of the things that are going on. But God tells us here that it is possible. He says, when this is corruptible, okay, but it's covered up by incorruptibility, that's a problem. And when people who are mortal cover themselves up, present themselves up as immortal, that's a problem for us, my friends, because we're in a position where we're vulnerable. And we need to protect ourselves and our children, our neighbors, our families, everyone. This is important. And today we have scams that are coming through the telephone by the minute. The phone rings and there are people out there trying to steal our identities. Things like that are very, very dangerous to ourselves and our families. We have people who are in a position of authority in the courthouse, people who are judges. We have great judges, and once in a while we hear about a corrupt judge, a prejudiced judge, people who want to be the ultimate judge, to be God. But God is making us aware that sometimes the immortal want to clothe themselves as the immortal. And we want to be aware of that. Sometimes we see it in police departments with policemen who carry the badge and a weapon, but unfortunately are corrupted by money, power, and prestige. Basically, the money, the piles of money sometimes that is, coming through the work that they do, the good work that they do, makes them vulnerable. And we as men have to be firm in our faith. You know, God says, do not steal. And this is important. Lining up with what God says to do and not to do will help us to avoid the corruption, the corruptible situations, and also the situations that draw us in to hurt our careers, our families, our credibility, and our stability. But there are people out there, my friends, in politics we see, without question, who ignore the word of God, and they are striving to be godly, to be godlike, even express themselves as faithful in different denominations. But it's not true. Once again, like in our first reading, we want to see that people's words and actions are one and the same. We want to see that the phraseology, the vocabulary, the terminology is backed up with the actions. Otherwise, it's not true. We've got to be astute, pay attention to detail. And we've got to, measure trust one conversation at a time, so that we're not taken advantage of as God's people. But there will be people out there who want to be God, who pretend to be God, and want to control us in various ways, manipulate us. We have to be strong. And the Word of God talks about the sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. It should be our goal, my friends, every day to avoid sin. But if we're not reading the Word of God, we're not attentive to what God is telling us to do and not to do, we may be engaged in sin and not even realize it, being ignorant to the Word of God. God calls us to get educated, to be motivated, to pick up the Word of God and to read some scriptures and live them out each day. Our Blessed Mother sends that message in one of the apparition sites to read the Word of God and to live it out each day, just a few scriptures. Very, very important. And St. Paul goes on to say this. He says, be firm, steadfast, and always fully devoted to the work of the Lord. My friends, what is the work of the Lord? What work did the Lord do while he was here on earth? The work of the Lord. He is the first, the role model for all of us. Did he bring peace to other people? Yes, he did. He said many times to his apostles and other people, peace be with you. Peace be upon you. My friends, do you bring peace? Do I bring peace to other people? Or are we bringing fear? Are we bringing depression anxiety. What do we bring into the table at home when we come home for dinner at night? What do we bring into the office? What do we bring to the church when we actually go to church on Sundays? Are we going in there late, rushing, unpeaceful? Did we have an argument in the car or at home and going in with bad feelings for the people who are with us walking in the church? Or are we bringing the peace? Our Blessed Mother says, pray for peace within your own heart, and then you can share that peace with other people. So part of the Lord's work, number one, is to bring the peace to other people. Every chance that you get, you and I need to bring peace to other people. A lot of people lack peace. There are people out there who've lost loved ones. Today, yesterday, this week, people who have loved ones who are battling cancer, and they're afraid of the future, afraid of what may come tomorrow. We need to bring the peace. There are people out there who are opposed to one another in philosophies, cultural differences. We need to bring the peace. How important is it for the peace to be brought to the situation over in the Ukraine, my friends? How important is it there for those of us here who have family members there? It's critical that we bring the peace. What is the work of the Lord? The Lord says the second greatest commandment is to love one another. We have to bring the love. When the Lord was on earth, he brought love to everyone. His goal was to bring people up, to lift them up through the love of the Father. And it's powerful. We need to lift people up with love. The Lord says, whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. What are we doing for other people that we know and don't know? Or do we live in an I and me mentality each and every day? It's all about me. I've got what I need. Or is it us and we? Are we sharing what we have, our talents, our treasures, most of all our time, the most valuable asset that we have, that great gift of time? Or is it all about me? Think of yourself objectively, my friends, how you are doing the work of the Lord or how you are not doing the work of the Lord in bringing the peace, bringing the love, doing for others whenever you can. And on that note, we want to say God bless you to those who are doing these things day in and day out and take them for granted. It's just part of their everyday life. And we have to highlight the great gift of motherhood, my friends, those mothers out there who sacrificed their bodies to have a child, and those mothers out there who are raising children, bathing them, feeding them, clothing them, educating them. And it goes on for years and years and years, 24/7, my friends, protecting them, defending them, loving them, teaching them family values, biblical principles, ethics, morals. It's all important. This is the work of the Lord. And we go on, my friends, to other categories, to fight for justice. Justice for the unjust situations out there in our schools, our courthouses, in Washington, D.C. We must continue to fight for justice for the unborn child, for the life of the unborn child, for traditional marriage between one man and one woman, the way it was designed as per the Word of God. Not me, my friends. It's through the Word of God that we've been given this commandment, basically, this instructions. These instructions are paramount for family life, traditional marriage between one man and one woman, to be fruitful and multiply in the context of a marriage. So we have to fight for justice, because there are those who are against the Word of God, the instructions God puts forth. And we can't lay down. We've got to get up off the couch and have a plan of action each and every day to fight for life and for traditional marriage and family life and for other issues that are important to our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. We have to fight for peace where there is no peace, in situations within a family where we have unresolved differences creating separation for years. What can you and I do once again to bring the peace? We have to do the work of the Lord for the poor, providing necessities to those who need food, clothing, water, whatever we can do, let's do it. For those widows out there who've lost husbands and are now taking care of responsibilities on their own, and for those orphans out there, my friends, who have lost parents, who have incarcerated parents. They've lost parents because of incarceration, or they've lost them through addiction. And they're out there, my friends, fending for themselves in the streets, learning the basics of life through people on the streets instead of through the Word of God. What can we do for the poor, the widows, the orphans? There is much work to do. Let's go on to our gospel reading, my friends, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 39 through 45. And here it is. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into the pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first, then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. Every tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not pick figs or thorn bristles, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person out of the store of goodness is his heart produces good, but an evil person out of a store of evil produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. The word of the Lord. A very powerful message, my friends, through the Gospel of Luke. And this is where we need to be fully trained, my friends, to be teaching our children and other people. No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. But in some cases, my friends, we have the uneducated teaching the uneducated, the people who need education. We have the unprepared helping to prepare those who are not prepared yet. So we have work to do. One of the great messages in the gospel here is that we need to find the goodness in other people. Why do you and I, my friends, find fault first versus the good things that other people are doing? Is this you and I? Shouldn't we look at ourselves in the mirror objectively and make some changes, my friends. This is important. And lastly, the word says, for from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Is your heart full or is your heart empty, my friends? That's our show for today. Thank you for tuning in with us here at Clear for Takeoff and Holy Spirit Radio. Have a great day and God bless. Take care.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.